In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, peace and blessings upon your servant and his messenger Muhammad forever, amen. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. I greet you, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, with the nation's greetings of peace. As-salamu alaykum. To our guests who sit upon the podium and to all of you, we would like to extend to you our heartfelt welcome. Time for all people throughout the world, when people can come together with a oneness in mind, a oneness in belief in God, a oneness in setting aside the differences in ideology and differences in religion and differences in all other thoughts to come together in the Southern Light Jubilee. And the Light Jubilee is very appropriate to be held here in the city of Atlanta, in the state of Georgia, because life is so abundant here in this city. As you ride around the great city of Atlanta and see all of the greenery, all of the life that exists, then it is only appropriate that people of all persuasions to come together here and celebrate new life, new development, and new growth of the human society. We've got many guests to come before you to have words of encouragement and words of life and development to say to you. And we're expecting the Chief Minister of the Nation of Islam to come to the podium in just a little while. But as we prepare and set the table for his presence, we want to call to the podium a very beautiful person whom I have shared the occasions in publicizing this event with on TV. A Reverend Barbara King of the Hillside Chapel and Truth Center here in the city of Atlanta. And her center, or her church, or her temple, is a representation of a new thought ministry. And anytime we can find people in this society, with society as it exists today, who has a new thought that they want to project, and if that thought is belief in God, then we want to project that thought to the whole community. There's much that could be said about Sister Reverend Barbara King, but I'm going to let you listen to her and make your own decision. She's a very dynamic person, and at this time, I present to you of the Hillside Chapel and Truth Center, Reverend Barbara King. Thank you so much to our mayor and to the Honorable Wallace Muhammad and to all of the lovely people here at the platform that I'm sharing, and to all of you here assembled. I am so excited about this occasion. I am joyful, I am thankful that we have this tremendous opportunity to come together. It says to us that we are moving away from our over-concerns about material things, and we are moving toward a realization of who and what we are together. It means that that's something within us that reaches out to everyone we meet, draws us together as a family of God. I had the opportunity last week, through the courtesy of the Atlanta Police Department, the city jail, and to see some of the sections of Atlanta and some of the kinds of challenges that policemen face in their daily work. And I remember so well, as we went through the city jail, that the men who were there behind bars were not concerned about what denomination each of us represented. They were were concerned that as ministers, we were there, and most of them asked us as we walked through, "Will you talk with me? Will you have prayer with me? Will you come back?" And that's what this is all about. For truth is, that's all, truth is, and wherever people come together on a common cause and decide that they can work together to change conditions, that is the truth that sets us free. So I feel free today, and I'm happy to be one with you and to just say this title of a song that my soul is saying to me. I just left my service, and we were talking about love. And when I finished speaking, he said in his words of song, "No man is an island. No man left them." He knew the rest of the words. But none of us can live without each other. It's a great day for Atlanta. It's a great day when all of us, even though our theology may lead in many directions, but the truth is we all are seeking the same truth. So I pray, God, for you. I give thanks for this occasion, and especially am I glad to be a part of it. God bless you today.
Of the Hillside Chapel in Truth Center. I was one of the ministers that served with her along with some of the other ministers in Atlanta, the county jail situation. And as we served the county jail here in the facilities that the Commissioner of Youth made available to the ministers of Atlanta so that we could get a first-hand look at how things are within our city, I thought about the program of the Nation of Islam behind the prison walls. The state minister was very interested in the state of Pennsylvania and invited to speak in one of the prison houses. And they literally opened up the doors to the state minister of the Nation of Islam, and they stood up in the podium, and he spoke not only to those that were in his presence, but by telephone with us to thousands of others in other prisons within the Pennsylvania area.
All right. close to me and said, and Acts the 7th chapter and the 16th verse, in the last days, said God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your son and your daughter shall prophesy. Old men will dream dreams, and young men will feel visions. I'm glad to see all these daughters here today who are prophesying, and these young men who are prophesying. We have the old man here, the one that dreamed the dream. He's not here in body, but he's here in spirit. I'm Elijah Muhammad.
He knew that he only had a short time, but he followed his dream.
after he followed the dream, the great one, Muhammad, now got the vision.
It's a young man.
He got the vision that all mankind become one. He learned that. Bible said we're going to light one grain of sand. Put all the grain and yellow, we got some land.
Father
to make us one, not one in flesh, not one in idea, but one in mind. In my conclusion, we got some of all kind of mind here. We have the mind of Einstein here. We got the mind of Socrates here. We got to put all these great minds together. We put all these great minds together, we learn. Same way God said, I will pour out my spirit. The beast said, I will pour out my spirit also. So the beast pouring out of the spirit, man has gone to the moon. So the beast spirit, man has gone to Mars in a rocket ship. Of these great minds, we'll be able to finally save ourselves. We learn how to come to yourself. I say in my conclusion, remember that. Let's learn how to do the impossible now. I have put our spirit upon all these sons and daughters. Old man dreamed a dream, and the young man got the vision. Now, it's our God to help God out by uniting our mind. Come on, thank you.
We thank Dr. W.J. Stafford for his wonderful remarks to the congregation of Almighty God that gave me an omni. In our efforts to put forth the Life Jubilee here in Atlanta, we took many of the ministers within the Atlanta community, and one of the ones we took initially was Dr. Ralph Abernathy, president of SCLC, Southern Christian Leadership Conference. As some of you may perhaps know, he has been ill and hospitalized. He's released very recently, but he had a setback and had to go back to the hospital. But in keeping with the philosophy of SCLC and supporting things which are good for the community and good for the people, he sent a representative to represent him in SCLC. He sent Reverend Bernard Lee. And Reverend Bernard Lee is well known himself within the community. He worked very closely with Dr. Martin Luther King during the Civil Rights Movement. He has been very active in the community and leadership in the SCLC ever since that time. So at this time, we would like to call before you so that he may represent SCLC and Dr. Ralph Abernathy, Reverend Bernard Lee. It is indeed gratifying to welcome the messenger to the city of Atlanta. I'm indeed delighted to be in the midst of the mayor of this great city, Mayor Maynard Jackson. I'm equally delighted to be flanked on my right by Protection, the commissioner of the police forces in our city, Mr. Reginald Reed. Amen. absolutely delighted to see Dr. Stafford, our commissioner for the riot, and so many of you, my brothers and sisters, come to the city of Atlanta. It warms our hearts. It gives us a sense of oneness and togetherness. SDLC and the Nation of Islam developed a relationship during the lifetime of Martin Luther King Jr. It was my privilege, my humble privilege, to have been with Dr. King on a couple of occasions when we had dinner, when we broke bread together at the home of the messenger, the late Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That relationship continues today, for we are one people. And if there is nothing else that you remember that I have said today in representation of our President, Dr. Ralph David Abernathy, I leave with you these words for the challenging moments before us. If we must die, let it not be like Hall's 110 in an inglorious spot, while round us bark the mad and hungry dogs, making their mark at our accused lot. If we must die, oh, let us die nobly, so that our precious blood may not be shed in vain, when even the monsters we defy shall be constrained to honor us, though dead. Oh, kinsmen, we must meet the common foe, though far outnumbered, let us do us brave, and for their 1,000 blows, let us deal one death blow. But though before us lies the open grave, like men, we'll face the murderous cowardly pack. Pressed to the wall, die, like men, but fighting back. Claude McKay wrote those words in a cause Winston Churchill during the Second World War to go before the Parliament to try and pull together the spirit of England for the blitz of the Germans. I use those words from the Port Lawrence today, hoping that they will bring us closer together as a people, hoping that there will be a oneness in us, because this very moment while we sit here in the safe, comfort of this great army in the city of Atlanta, I remind you that some of our brothers and sisters this evening are dying in Rhodesia and South Africa on their own homeland, simply because they have said they are not going to be slaves any longer. They need our support. They need our togetherness. I stand here with my mayor of the city and our public officials, and I stand here as the representative of the moral organization in this country to say that we are one, and our minds should be of one. And if they are not one, then praise be to God that we will become one at this moment. Recognizing that a tiny little minute, just 60 seconds in it, I didn't choose it, I can't refuse it, it is up to me to use it. A tiny little minute, just 60 seconds in it, but God's unity is in it. God Almighty is in it. As-salamu alaykum. For those remarks. At this time, we want to call before you the Commissioner of Public Safety for the City of Atlanta. He's known very affectionately, I believe, here in the City of Atlanta as the Super Cop. And you better believe it's not my squad and none of those other manics and all of that stuff we see on the subliminal TV. This is for real. But in the very short time that I have been in the city of Atlanta, we've watched very closely the things that the government of the city of Atlanta has been projecting and putting before the people. And we've seen, Commissioner, he's a man dedicated things that religion is all about, and that is eliminating our communities and our city of crime, drugs, and disease. And we witness
something on the invitation of the Commissioner of Public Safety, where he has invited the ministers of Atlanta to come and get a first-hand view of the situation as it exists in our city, so that the ministers could go back to their pulpit and teach on morality. Well, morality is something that the Nation of Islam and many churches within the community have been preaching for many years, but people have been walking around with their fingers stuck in their ears and with their eyes closed, telling the world that they don't see what is taking place right next door to them. But we're here to tell the world that with the forces that are working within this omni today, and the things that we can go on and do from this day forward, we can eliminate crime not only in Atlanta, but in the world when we turn the people's minds back around to Almighty God, because God don't depend on no criminals. But he's also over the fire department, that department that's all about putting out fires. But there are some fires that need to be put out. There's other fires that need to bloom and blaze and fire on. And we want to take the fire of religion and destroy crime in our cities and put morality back into the hearts and the minds of the people. So at this time, I bring before you the Commissioner of Public Safety, Commissioner A. Reginald Eve.
I am indeed honored and flattered to share the platform with so many great people, and more importantly, to talk to so many of my brothers and sisters. There is indeed a need, in my estimation, for us to talk about this kind of unity. As a matter of fact, when this was being planned in the nation, my staff was calling the nation to ransom to assist us in pulling together a religious feast in this city to deal with crime on all levels. And it said to me that good minds work together. But as we sit here and we talk about unity, let me say, let us not forget so quickly people have done to separate us historically. Don't forget that it was just a few years ago that people turned us against Martin Luther King by calling him a communist, and by calling him everything that was thinkable. And many of us backed away and did not want to partake in what he was giving to our country. And for those of you in the nation, you recall that they tried to make black people dishonor and disrespect the late Elijah Muhammad. And many of us fell into that trap because we wanted to feel a part of the white community. And then I want you to understand that we moved on and looked at many other leaders, and even here in our city, I have seen them try to destroy the Honorable Maynard Jackson because he had the audacity to call a black man in charge of the gun. Community to get every man support, because we believe that with your help, government
by God, we're going to succeed and cut crime down in our community. Now, I won't take too much time, but let me offer to you four challenges that I wish you'd carry back to your part of the country. First, I want us to remember that if all we were to talk about unity today, we've got to return to some very basic, to the old-time religion where we start caring for one another. If you're fair-skinned, or you have keen features, a long hair, you are better than the man with the thick lips and the broad nose and the kinky hair. But I want you to know that I have those features, and I'll be just as beautiful as anybody. The posture that I want you to walk away with today is we're going to start caring about our brothers and about our sisters. We're going to stop looking out of our windows and see the criminals going into our neighbor's home and turning our backs and saying, we don't want to become involved. Because the irony of it all is, when you come out here today, the criminal calls through your window and your neighbor turns around and he or she says he or she doesn't want to become involved. Just a simple basic principle of returning to our basic and caring for one another again. The second challenge I want to offer you today is we must talk about setting examples for our young boys and for our young girls. We're so selfish, we tend to forget that those people are coming behind us. But we've got to plan our nation around our young people. And we've got to say to the producers of those super cop films, we've got to say to the producers of Godfather 1 and Godfather 2 and Superfly, that that's what they've got to stop.
Good folks, if the good folks in our
entire community will stop by and sell the goods. You will reduce burglaries by 80%. But we all go around believing we're buying a deal. And all you're doing is buying my color TV, my stereo. All you're doing is buying your neighbor's car. You know, it used to be that we used to steal from pennies and steal and sell that hot stuff. But now we just move it to our neighbor's home. And we steal it and sell it to our another neighbor. Let me close by saying that I believe that the kind of religious leadership our community experiences, with the kind of dedication and commitment that the government has, with the kind of support that we're receiving from citizens all over this place, and with your help, and with your continued prayers and blessings, and with the help of God, we will indeed return the community to you. Thank you very much.
The words from Commissioner Eves of Atlantis Public Station. It's very interesting to take note that even the people who represent the government is speaking and taking on the teachings of morality. And it's interesting to note that here was what we call, as I said, the super cop speaking to us. Each and every individual has a cop within his own self. And it's his conscience that's the cop of the individual self. And if you live according to the dictates of your conscience, and your conscience is weighted down by the truth of Almighty God, then crime would be no problem in our community. So we thank Commissioner A. Reginald Eves for his comments to us. Of Atlanta before you at this time. You want to bring before you the mayor of the city. And I might add that the mayor had a previous engagement. So he made other flight arrangements that he might spend a few moments with us. He's not going to be able to remain throughout the entire lecture or throughout the entire day. But he wanted to share this occasion with us. And too often have we seen people in position of leadership that did not want to come down to the valley and be with the people in the valley, but the mayor of the city wanted to be with us today. Concern, and at this time I present to you the Honorable Mayor Maynard Jackson of the City of Atlanta.
The Honorable Wallace Muhammad, the ministers of the Nation of Islam, the greatest football player in the history of America, Jimmy Brown, to all of the leadership and the membership and the fellowship of the Nation of Islam, my fellow Atlantans who came today and to others, assalamu alaikum. This is an important occasion. My previous engagement was a vacation that I have been planning for 4 years. And I was supposed to have left town on Tuesday. And I have not been on vacation yet. I worked Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yesterday I had a little bit of time off. And wanted to stay to be here. It would be unseemly for any mayor of this town, but especially for this mayor of this city, not to be here on this occasion and not to receive in person the Chief Minister, the Honorable Wallace O'Hanlon. I am deeply touched and moved by this occasion. I recall a day in 1973 on Broad Street in downtown Atlanta when there was, in my opinion, an unwarranted killing of a brother in the Nation of Islam who was seeking to sell his papers. There may be some debate as to the aggressiveness or over-aggressiveness of that brother, but is it not the American way to pursue aggressively business interests? Is it not the American way to pursue aggressively the cause of ethics and morality as long as one does not intrude on the rights and the privileges of others? What he may not realize is that that death was one of 22 deaths of citizens caused by police in the city of Atlanta in 1973. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm going to say. I believe in my heart that but for the aggressive, intelligent, responsible pursuit of law enforcement by the vast majority of our police, all of us would be in bad shape. But it only takes a few rotten apples to spoil the barrel. Which means that in 1973, the year before I became mayor, there were more killings of civilians by police in Atlanta than any, I repeat, than any city in the United States. I don't mean that pro rata. I don't mean that as a relative or comparative figure, but absolutely speaking, there were more here than even in New York or in Chicago or Los Angeles or Detroit or otherwise, even Birmingham. I want you to know that now, 2.5 years later, understanding certain basics, that the speed of the boss is the speed of the crew. And that as mayor, I cannot effectively operate unless I have someone whom I trust, namely Commissioner A. Reginald Eve, to set the pattern. And understanding that he cannot function unless he has the full support of the office of the mayor, understanding that the speed of the boss is the speed of the crew, we have increased training of our police recruits from 6 weeks to 19 weeks. We have greatly broadened the recruiting of African Americans and women. We now teach human relations not as a chic adjunct and only regrettably necessary adjunct for the teaching of police methods, but now we teach human relations as the number one priority of all police officers, all city employees, because 80% of a police officer's time is not spent in catching crooks. It is spent in dealing sometimes with very fundamental, very pragmatic, sometimes even apparently petty problems that people have from day to day. If we don't respect, or have respect rather, by the police, it is hard for us to respect the police. It is a mutual admiration society that must be achieved. I tell you now that for the first time in the history of Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm 38 years old, I've lived here since I was 7, for the first time in the history of Atlanta, police brutality is no longer an issue in the city of Atlanta. That does not mean